welcome to the season finale of the Ultimate Podcast. I'm Steve Weeks here, the League of Untouchable American Gamers, in the bungalow beneath the earth here in Houston, Texas. Really excited about the show tonight. We got two guests with us. A lot of people ask me about this season finale stuff. I got to tell you, it kind of hit at a perfect time to take a break here. I play some music with this group of mine, and we're going to play some on spring break. But also, obviously, with the events on the Board Game Geek of this week, I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. It was a perfect time to take a break and kind of gather our thoughts as to what happened. I will say, I got two guests for you tonight. Jennifer Stone, my first guest. We're going to get into the interview here in a second. How I came about to interview Jennifer, I was looking for a female point of view on this Ameritrash versus Euro War. And I was looking through all the lists and stuff, and her name, just the first one I saw. I'm sure there's a few others that have commented, but not many. Women have pretty much stayed out of this, and we're going to talk to her about it just a little bit. And it's funny because the interview turned more toward the educational value of games, which is a very interesting aspect. She uses games as part of her homeschooling curriculum, and we're going to talk about that. It's very interesting. She also is into music. Her son plays bagpipes. And you may see her post on Board Game Geek. I think it's currently, right now, as we speak, in the news section on the front page. They're trying to raise donations to take the band to Scotland. We'll talk about that. And we're going to get right into it here, talking to Jennifer Stone. Hang on. Here we go. Now, you're in Auburn, Washington. Where exactly is that?
It's a few miles outside of Seattle.
Okay. And you got nice weather there today, huh?
Well, it's not really nice weather. It's just not raining.
Are your kids on spring break?
No, we homeschool.
Oh, okay.
That's right. So they're always on spring break.
I wanted to ask you about that. Why did you make a decision to homeschool? Was there any particular reason?
A lot of people homeschool for reasons of faith.
Right.
That's not why we chose to homeschool. I have two older sisters that homeschooled their kids, and I had never heard of it before that. And what they were doing was interesting. I liked the results, you know, of the kids.
Right.
And honestly, the first year, my son, I sent him to kindergarten, and that was fine, But then I went ahead and made the decision to start homeschooling his first grade year. I did it because I wanted to be with my kids. That was the main reason.
That's a good reason, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to have control over what they were or were not learning.
Right.
And the first year was actually a learning experience more for me.
Right. I was looking at that. Does your curriculum include these games on board game? All these board games?
Yes, it does. Now,
that's interesting. I wanted to talk to you about that. As far as you mentioned in your email, the educational value of some of these games. Could you give us some ideas on what games are good for that?
Yeah, actually, all games are good for that.
Right.
But I started out with the curriculum, my son's first grade year, and there's tons of curriculum out there. You've got some curriculum where they give you step-by-step on how to, you know, lesson plans and everything. And
uh-huh.
It's a school-at-home curriculum. And I found that first year that was not working for us, that strict school-at-home.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to lighten up. And I won't go any more into it, but we're very relaxed homeschoolers now. I don't have a set specific curriculum.
Right.
We use more library materials and computer games.
That's interesting, yeah. Kind of a new approach, huh?
Yeah, and then, you know, we have a couple workbooks for spelling and math.
Right.
And my son does a lot of hands-on stuff.
That sounds great.
We mess around and do things. And then going out with other homeschoolers, field trips, daily things. And we use a lot life learning concept, I guess.
Were you a little upset at I know some people homeschool because they're upset about schools teaching social issues that they don't agree with. Did that come into play for you or no?
No, not really. I mean, I'm very laid back. I'm very open-minded. Things don't really bother me, and I think
right.
I'm very open with my kids. You know, a lot of people don't let their kids listen to certain kinds of music because it has swear words in it. Well, for me, big deal. They're going to hear it.
Right.
You know, it's just a matter of you let them know that that's not what they should be saying right now. And you know, it's their choice.
Uh-huh.
Same with scary movies.
Now let's...
I let them watch scary movies.
Oh, okay, good.
Things and stuff like that.
So you're a cool mom then.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did. Advantages of being a cool mom.
Now let's get back to games. You said that in your email it was you're the first female I've seen comment on this American versus Euro war, as you call it, which it is, I guess. What's your thoughts on that? Is you think it's childish or entertaining
yeah,
or what?
I was afraid you're going to ask me that. you know, because I always think I when you asked me about this interview, I wondered, well, why is he asking me to do this? There's other women on Board Game Geek who probably have much more experience in it. I find it entertaining. I just love to read up on that and read everyone else's opinion.
Right.
But for me, being as open-minded and you know, I really as laid back as I am, I don't care either way.
Right.
You know, I love a game for the game. It doesn't matter if it's a Euro or if it's an American game.
So you don't lean toward one or the other. You're kind of in the middle, you say.
No, I don't. Although, if you're going to go educational value...
Yeah, let's talk about that. What has the better education, Euros or American games?
Euro games are probably going to be the better way to go. But then again, I thought about that. You know, I thought, well, which one is better for educational value? Euro games are good because it's got a lot of economics in it. It forces a lot of thinking. I like games that make my kids think, not about facts or figures.
How old are your kids, by the way?
I have a 12-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter.
Okay, so they're old enough to play most of these, right?
Right. Whether they want to or like to is a completely different story. but the American games, a lot of those are educational because, say, for example, military-based games that are conflict.
Right. You mean history, in terms of history
right.
and so forth.
Right, in terms of history, in terms of direct conflict, dealing with that. Not just dealing with the theme of the game, but learning how to deal with someone trashing you, basically.
Right.
Being a good sport.
Exact sportsmanship, right.
Right. You know, so that makes a big difference. I know when my son was younger, when we first started letting him play games, and I've seen this come up on Board Game Geek, the issue of kids not being able to handle losing. Definitely the first year or 2 years, we had to deal with the crying fits and don't want to play this anymore. And you know, we had to, everybody's different. Everyone has to know their child and know what works, and you try
right.
different things, and then they'll grow out of it, hopefully.
Have you talked to any other homeschoolers and clued them in on these games as far as education?
Yes, definitely. We had a homeschool group that we attended on Fridays that we were going to regularly, and there was a two-hour block of time there where I would bring games and the kids would play, and it was interesting. Several of them had already played like games like Settlers of Catan. You know, they're like, oh yeah, Settlers, I love that game.
Right.
And so we started off, I would bring one game and I'd have a couple kids play it, mostly I would say 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds play, and we started off with easy stuff like Metro, tile laying, you know, basic game.
Uh-huh.
We even played Robo Rally and, of course, Ticket to Ride.
Right. You know, how's the reception? Has it been mostly positive or has
definitely
it,
positive.
Really? Okay, good.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, because we lost the space where we were meeting, the homeschool group wasn't, we kind of fell apart there for a little bit. But one of the other mothers and I are actually putting together a bit more private gaming group starting tomorrow, actually, tomorrow morning.
Oh, really? Okay.
At the local library, yeah. So
Is this for the kids or for the mothers or what?
It's for the kids.
Okay.
We're doing kind of by invite only. We have a couple of families that we invited. And, of course, we're doing the bring-your-own game that you'd like to share, just in case. you know, just in case. I'm not going to come and bring my whole load of games.
Right.
But I'll bring a select few, and then whatever they want to play. That way nobody gets left out if there's some, if there's a game that I have that somebody doesn't want to play. Or
right, right. I noticed, is it Alhambra's is one of your favorites?
Yeah, I like that game.
Yeah, have
I know
you played...
It's really lightweight, but I like it.
Have you? Do you have any of the expansions or just the basic one? The base
I have
set.
One of the expansions. Unfortunately, I can't remember which one I have.
Does that add much to it, the expansion?
I don't even know. I haven't played it yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
I haven't played this.
I saw your review on that. You call it kind of a comfort game.
It is for me.
Right.
Because it's a relaxing game for me.
Right.
So there's no... It's not intense. It's not direct conflict. It's just nice. You know, you draw some cards, you buy some stuff, you lay your tiles.
Right.
And that's what I mean by comfort games.
Now, you also, I noticed one of your other, I was looking on some of your comments on the game Corsari, the pirate card game.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband actually set sail with no castaway or stowaways.
Yes, he did.
I have played that game, I don't know how many times, and I've never done that. I've never seen anybody do that. Did he cheat to do that?
No, he didn't. We were joking about that. We were joking one time. Oh, yeah, one of us is going to end up doing that. And he did. I can't remember how long ago it was. I remember we were camping when he did that. It was late at night, bugs flying around the light, you know.
Right.
And he did that. And that was not fair.
It was definitely not fair.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. We haven't played that. You know, we go through these phases of playing games. Unfortunately, recently we haven't been playing as much as I'd like to.
Now, are you a bigger gamer than your husband is?
Yeah. As far as board games go, my husband is a Magic the Gathering player.
Ah, okay.
And he plays mostly online.
I see you play that too. You gave it a 10, right?
Well, yeah, because it was what really got us started in gaming.
Right.
And because Magic itself, I mean, it is an awesome game.
Yeah.
You know, it just is. It's an awesome game. I just don't have the patience to put together the decks. I don't have the time or the patience or the creativity. And he does all his stuff online now, so we don't deal with the hard copy of the cards.
Yeah, you mentioned, too, speaking of online, you play computer games, too. How would you compare computer games with board games? Do you enjoy those more or less or what?
I enjoy them less. Several years ago, I played Wizardry 8, which is where I got my Wiz 8 Mom title. And it basically, the reason why I don't start playing games now is because it sucks up so much of your time.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the appeal of the Euro games in particular is that people just don't have time to invest. I mean, I can see where you're teaching all day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, and just... I think that's part of the appeal, the low play time. But then again, on the other side, it's not some people seem to think it's not as satisfying an experience since it is so short. And
right. The PC games, they're fun, but they do take up a lot of time. And the reason why I like the board games is, well, with PC games, unless you're playing online with someone else, you're networked, you know, maybe I could play with my son. But I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to sit for 5 hours and play a PC game. I would rather go downstairs and involve everybody.
Now, are you in a game group there in your town?
No, I'm not.
No? any of your neighbors or anything into these?
No, not neighbors. Although, I don't know if you know... My son and daughter are both involved in a bagpipe band.
I saw that. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Yes.
And that has to be... Now, I'm thinking you have a kid and they're going to play an instrument. I think it would have to be the bagpipe would be the most annoying to learn.
My dad played the bagpipe.
Ah.
Well, that's how my son got interested.
Okay.
And now he's, you know, a full-blown bagpipe player. We're
right.
Now, driving...
Don't get me wrong, I like bagpipe music. I'm just
right.
saying when you're beginning to learn it...
It's difficult.
Yeah. I hear it's a very difficult instrument to play.
Yeah. Now, my daughter, she's on the snare drum.
Okay.
So she's this little thing, and she could barely carry the drum. So
are you all wearing kilts around the house?
Nope. my husband said he'd be caught dead in a kilt. And I said I could have that arranged.
Are you actually Scottish? Are you Scottish?
I have a little bit of Scottish heritage in my from my dad's side.
So have you played Shot and Totten?
No, I haven't.
You know, it's the same game as Battleline. You played Battleline, right?
Oh, yeah, I played Battleline.
You like that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Typically, my husband likes the card games.
Card games?
More so than the board game.
Right. Any other, what games are you playing right now that you really like?
That I really like?
Yeah. Anything new?
Anything new? Let me think. Oh, Blue Moon City.
Blue Moon City, yes. I played that over Christmas holiday. It was great. I liked it.
Now, strangely enough, I went ahead and I bought Blue Moon, the card game.
No, I don't like that.
You don't like that one?
No, I don't like it for some reason, but I do like Blue Moon City.
Uh-huh. Well, I bought Blue Moon, the card game, to play with my husband because a lot of people were saying that, you know, Magic the Gathering would like this game. But we went ahead and we ended up playing Blue Moon City instead with a couple friends of ours, and he liked it. You know, and to me, sometimes I'm just like, wow, you mean you really did like this game? I never know. I thought that by now I would be able to kind of guess what games would appeal to him, and he always ends up surprising me. As an example, several years ago, we played Domain, and uh-huh. I liked it. It was, 3 years ago that Domain came out, however long that came out. I liked the game. I don't remember what I liked about it, but I did like it. And he didn't like it at all.
Uh-huh.
You know? And Blue Moon City, I thought, well, he might not like this one, and he did. Trying to think of some of the other games. Samurai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He liked that one.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Tile Land game. But he didn't like Settlers.
Really?
Everybody likes Settlers, but he didn't like Settlers. So, you know, I guess it really depends maybe on his mood or I don't know what. I'm just glad when he likes the game.
Now, I was looking on your profile. You made quite a provocative statement there. Let me see what you said. You said that people who don't dream about zombies and vampires are not normal. Now, I got to tell you, that's the last thing I dream about. I did have a dream about a female vampire, but we won't go into that.
No, I do have the strangest games, games and dreams. I have the strangest dreams. I dream. I remember my dreams.
Ah.
And the kids love to hear my dream story.
So have you ever analyzed that to figure out what that means?
I try not to.
It might scare you, right?
Well, I told you the one where I probably had watched too much CSI and I was burying bodies underneath my house. Yeah, because I was afraid people were going to find them.
Oh, yeah.
And I wondered, where does that come from? You know, and I have no idea.
Right.
I'm not going to try to think about that. Just CSI, you know, that's probably the
Now, tell me about you. Do you actually have a gaming blog, is that right?
I did.
I tried to find that. I couldn't find it. Where is it?
I'm gonna start it up again.
Okay.
Where is it? I don't even know the address.
Okay.
I'd have to look it up.
But
I'll email it to you.
Okay. So what do you talk about on your blog there? Just do you do reviews or what?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you actually do game reviews on your blog?
Not reviews. Not typical stuff. Whatever comes to mind. I did one thing about placing a game order, you know, which is for me an intense thing. It'll take me a week to place a game order, you know. And
why is that? You're just trying to decide on what you want to order?
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll have like three or four different windows open with four different online retailers, and I'll be placing, you know, sticking them in the cart, and who has the best.
Yeah, it can be a trying experience.
And then I'll look at the total and go, oh my gosh, I really shouldn't be doing this right now. And then I'll close it all up, and then I'll go back to it 2 days later.
Uh-huh.
You know, so yeah, it's a good thing though. I found Card House Games is like just down the street from my daughter's drum lesson.
Oh, really? The actual store,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, the actual store is just down about 10 minutes away from my daughter's drum lesson. That's a good thing and a bad thing. And so now I get the decent price, but no shipping, you know. And I was just there on Tuesday and picked up Alhambra the Dice Game.
Ah, okay.
That one out.
Is that going to be a comfort game for you, too?
I don't know. It's sitting on my dining room table right now. I was trying to read the rules last night, but we got home kind of a little bit late.
What's the chances your husband's going to like that one?
Good question. Dice, he liked Alhambra okay. You know, he's like, oh, it's an okay game. I'll play it with you. It's not my favorite game.
Right.
You know, he doesn't ask to play it. But he liked it. He does like dice games, though. So he did like Can't Stop.
Oh, yeah, I love that. It's great.
Yeah, picked that up at the thrift store.
They're reissuing that, by the way.
Yes, I saw that.
And actually, the version, I don't like the other versions. I do have the stop sign version. They're reissuing that. So I was glad to see that because it's a great game.
Right. And I got lucky and picked that up at the thrift store.
Ah.
You know, for $1.99. That was a while back.
That's a good find there.
Yeah, but he does like dice games. Unfortunately, like I said, our gaming goes in these phases. Recently, we haven't had as much time to play, mostly because for the Bagpipe Band, we're gearing up for a concert here in April, and I'm on the board of directors, and the band is mostly run on volunteer time. And we're out there three times a week, and we get home very late. My son is also in karate, and we get home typically about 8 o'clock my time. You know,
right.
So we have just enough time to have dinner, and that's it.
Low on gaming time there.
Yeah, a little low on gaming for probably about another month.
You may start going through withdrawals, huh?
I do. But I've got the game group tomorrow with the homeschoolers. So
this is the first day of that tomorrow?
Yep, tomorrow's the first day that we're going to be doing that.
All right. Well,
so
I hope
it's a new thing, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah. Have you mentioned earlier about war games and American games? Have you ever played a war game yourself? A heavy game?
I have not played a war game, but I would love to play a war game.
Ah, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone that you want to play that you have in mind?
That I have in mind? I don't know anybody locally that has war games that I could get together with and play with.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out and buy one, you know, not without having anyone to play with.
Exactly.
Same thing with, like, Payless. I would love to try that, but I'm not going to buy it, you know. And
what was that? I missed that. I'm sorry.
Payless.
Kalis,
which isn't a war game, but another game that I would really love to try, but I'm not going to buy it.
I don't think you're missing much there.
Okay.
No.
I won't touch it. Like, Puerto Rico, you know, number one rated game. I thought, okay, well, maybe I should try that. And I read the description to my husband. He's like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, there's a lot of games, the heavier weight games that I really want to try.
Uh-huh.
I haven't had a chance to try them. Now, I don't know if you know Robert Wesley, Grognads.
Yes, I do. I've seen him on there, yes.
Okay. And, you know, obviously he's got a ton of war games. So I hit him up for showing me this.
You know him personally?
Yes, I do. I've met him several times. He lives in Aberdeen, which is about a two-hour drive from here, out on the coast, close to the coast of Washington. And during the summertime, we always head out to Pacific Beach. So either on the way out there or on the way back, we stop by and say hi.
Oh, okay, cool.
We haven't spent a lot of time. You know, it's just been a quick visit. We actually are planning a trip out to Scotland in 2008.
Oh, wow, that's going to be great, huh?
Yeah, you'll probably see a little bit of that on Board Game Geek. Aldi has approved my putting up a little ad on there. Or some help, but
what kind of help do you need? What kind of help do you need?
Donations.
Oh, donations for the trip.
Yeah, we're actually trying to send the kids. That's the main thing.
Oh, you mean for the bagpipe band?
For the bagpipe band, where it's the first time since 1959 that a youth band from Washington State has gone to the World Championship in Glasgow.
Well, that's great. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this would like to contribute to that, and I'll put my name in the hat on that, too.
Oh, yeah, it'll be great. It's a great group, and we've got some gamers in there, too. Definitely got gamers in there.
I take it you're a big Lord of the Rings fan, is that right?
I like Lord of the Rings. I'm not a big fan, but I do like Lord of the Rings, of course. You know, all the Harry Potter, all the science fiction fantasy stuff. I love that stuff.
And you also like, I saw where you said you like elves and tight leather. Is that right?
So you saw the MySpace page,
I
right?
did. I did a lot of research on you.
I saw that quote somewhere, and I just thought it was great. You know, it was
right.
instead of the knights in shining armor, it's elves in tight
leather. I don't know if I've ever seen an elf in tight leather.
I don't think I have either, darn it.
Now we did see talking about Lord of the
Rings. I can imagine it really well, though.
Talking about Lord of the Rings, they did here in Houston. They had this down in the museum, the costumes from all the movies, and but I don't think the elves in that had tight leather. I think he was just kind of a cloak or something, wasn't it?
Right. No, I can definitely picture the Orlando Bloom elf figure, you know, in tight leather.
And you told your husband this too, huh?
He sees my space page.
Ah, okay.
You know, I could always put him in tight leather and, you know, a cape and a bow and arrow and all that stuff.
And he's
that would probably be all right.
I have a feeling he wouldn't be for that if he's not into board games.
No, he wouldn't. He and my son both are really kind of boring that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to, you know, it's just jeans and t-shirts and nothing else.
Nothing else, huh?
Nope.
Well, listen, I want to take up your whole evening. I appreciate you talking with us. Hey, and listen, put up you were going to put up something about the bagpipe band, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to get contributions for that because I think that's a great cause. Anything with music and kids is definitely great.
I'm kind of working with Aldi on that. I did get his approval. I wasn't sure how that was going to go over, and he said, well, that's fine. We're going to end up putting Board Game Geek on the Northwest Junior Pipe Band. That's the name of the band, is the Northwest Junior Pipe Band. We're going to end up putting the Board Game Geek under our concert supporters on the website. We're also going to put them in our concert program.
Yeah, well, you can put the link on your profile, right? And we can find it that way.
Yes, you can definitely do that.
And your profile is Wiz8Mom, right?
Mm-hmm. Wiz8Mom.
The lady who loves elves in tight leather.
I like games more.
Well, thanks for talking, Jennifer.
Well, thank you for considering me. That was quite a surprise.
No. You make some really good points here. I was very interested in the whole educational aspect of these games.
Right.
And I'm glad you shed some light on that for everybody.
Overall, I would just say that any game is educational, not because it's teaching, like I said, specific facts, figures, but because it's really getting the kids to think and to think for themselves.
Right.
And if they can do that in a game, they can do that, you know, in any other area of their life. They can think through their math problems. They can think through their logic problems. And games do that without being much work.
Right.
Games are fun. So the kids are doing something good without really knowing it.
Exactly. Well, thanks again, and you have a good evening, and keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
She won't do what her boyfriend told her. She won't do what her boyfriend said. She won't do what her boyfriend told her. Ever since I got in the way, she won't call her boyfriend honey. She won't call her boyfriend babe. She won't call her boyfriend honey. Ever since I got in the way, I like it like that, and I want it like that, and I need it like that more than ever before. Only got one little life to live, and I don't want to live it with the girl next door. Boyfriend told her she won't do what her boyfriend say. She won't do what her boyfriend told her. Ever since I got in the way, she won't call her boyfriend honey. She won't call her boyfriend babe. She won't call her boyfriend honey. Ever since I got in the way, I like it like that, and I want it like that, and I need it like that more than ever before. I only got one little life to live, and I don't want to live it with the girl next door. She won't do what a lawyer told her. She won't do what a lawyer say. She wants me to have all the money. Ever since that I got in the way, I like it like that. boyfriend say. She won't do what her boyfriend told her. Ever since that I got in the way, I said, ever since that I got in the way.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. You know, I might have to actually learn how to play bagpipes, and might be a little interesting change from electric guitar. And speaking of Schottentotten and all this Scottish stuff, didn't I see Schlosser and Vassal wearing kilts at the Board Game Geek convention playing Schottentotten? I thought I did. Well, maybe not. Well, anyway, let's go on to our next guest. I call him the King of War Games, Chris Farrell. You may have heard Chris is recently retiring from doing his blog, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about War Games with Chris. I really like his stuff, and he was nominated for a Platinum Pawn Award for Best Review last year for his review of Leonardo da Vinci. We're going to talk to Chris right now. Read somewhere on the internet that you are retiring from doing reviews. Is that right?
Well, I'm no longer maintaining my blog on a regular basis. I still intend to write a few reviews now and then.
Right.
But I'm not doing anything regularly anymore.
Did you get it? What's the reason? You just got tired of it, or you're getting too busy, or what?
So I just wanted to take a break and to try to do some different things for a little bit.
Right. Now, I really enjoyed your blog. I like your reviews on Board Game Geek. I actually consider you the king of war games.
It's funny because I mean,
I'm sure there's other guys out there that you know are, but it's just the way you explain it. I think is very clear, and you have very distinct views on these war games. Do you consider yourself a war game player or an all around game player or what?
I certainly am not primarily a war gamer. In terms of the amount of time I spend much more time playing Euro games than war games.
Ah, okay.
Certainly enjoy war games quite a bit.
Right.
And I have played them for, I was a war gamer before I was a Euro gamer. I've played war games for over 25 years. But most of the time probably I think it's probably spent playing Euro games.
So you grew up with you came into the hobby through the Avalon Hillside.
Right.
Now, when we talk, we were talking a little bit on email about one Wizard Kings. That's really one of your highest rated games, it looks like.
Yeah, I rate it pretty highly. Yes.
And you were telling me can you tell us some more about the reissue that's coming out? I haven't heard about this.
Yeah. So it's actually been just slightly delayed. They're doing Wizard Kings 1. The first version of Wizard Kings sold out, and so now they're reissuing it as Wizard Kings 2.0. And the main thing that they're doing is they're switching to a sort of a randomized distribution scheme. So in the first version, you know, there were like 7 different armies you could get.
Right.
You bought the dwarves, and it came in a box, and it had 40 units or whatever.
Yeah, I've got it, yeah.
Yeah. So now with this version, they've greatly expanded the number of units that are out there. So they're going to be like 300 different units for the 7 different armies.
I kind of got a kick out of that game because I looked on Board Game Geek, and one of the complaints on that Wizard Kings game was that the defender gets to attack first. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true. Although the defender bias in a game like Wizard Kings, I mean, like most of Columbia's games, is actually much smaller than in most traditional war games.
So
the ability to fire first is statistically not as significant
as
needing a 3-1 in Third Reich or whatever.
Right. Is Wizard Kings your favorite Columbia issue?
No. The front games and Rommel Desert are definitely my favorite.
Rommel, okay. Now, do you also like war movies?
You know, I used to enjoy war movies, but as I've gotten older, I've kind of, I don't enjoy them as much.
Well, the reason I bring it up, I recently saw this. I've never seen it before. It's a movie about Sink the Bismarck.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's an English movie, and it kind of inspired me to buy a few games based on the Bismarck. Have you played Avalon Hill Bismarck?
Yes, many years ago, but I have played it.
And have you seen this one with app from Avalanche Press, Bismarck?
Based on the Bismarck? I've had a bad experience with Avalanche Press games.
But, really?
I have not been tempted to play any of their stuff.
Why is that?
I can't remember exactly games I played, but I played like their re-release of Imperium. I was a big fan of the old Game Designs Workshop sort of Traveller tie-in game.
Right, program, yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. It was a fairly simple but fun war game, which they remade in the early 2000s, and the remake was just absolutely terrible.
What was so bad about it?
So the combat system involved, so they added this 3D tactical battle game to it, which was totally unplayable because it was such a huge time sink. You had like these 10 ships, and each of them had to roll 10 dice to make their attacks. So these battles would play out, and the battle would take as long to play as like the original Imperium took to play in total.
Right.
And it just wasn't fun. There were no interesting decisions there. You were just rolling a lot of dice and looking a lot of stuff up. So
tell me, if I'm looking for a naval type war game, what would you recommend?
I was a big fan of the old Avalon Hill game, Wooden Ships and Iron Men.
Ah, okay.
As a highly playable and sort of fun. And you can play. It's also it has a nice range of stuff from the Revolutionary War battles and the War of 1812 battles with just a few ships on each side up to the huge engagements, which you need multiple players.
How's the difficulty level on that one?
It's a six pager, I think.
Okay.
About six pages of rules, I think. And you can play a basic game with less than that.
Now, on your recommendation, I think I picked up, what is it, the Market Garden game, Storm?
Well, there's Storm Over Arnhem.
Yeah, that's the one I got, yeah. Mm-hmm. You rate that pretty high, right?
Yeah, I like that one.
I have not tried it yet, but I'm anxious to give it a try. I don't know if you heard, I was talking with D.W. Tripp on the last podcast, and he mentioned this too. I seem to have this problem too, giving people to play a game that has a little more depth with these German games they're used to. Is there a secret to getting, do you have a secret to sucking these people into war games?
Yeah, so a game like Storm Over Arnhem is kind of a tough sell because it's not long by war game standards, but it is about a 6-hour game, and it's got a little bit of fiddly complexity. The stuff I really like to, there are two games that I usually hook people with or that I like. One is, I think the Columbia games are, a lot of the Columbia games are really great for people who like Euros and people who like war games because, they are really streamlined systems. They're really simple. Napoleon, I think, is a great, really interesting, game that would appeal to Euro gamers. It's like a four pages of rules. It's very easy to comprehend. It's very easy to play. It doesn't take very long. It's only a couple hours.
Speaking of Napoleon, have you played Age of Napoleon?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
I didn't care for it that much. I enjoyed playing it a couple of times, but after we played it a couple of times, I realized that the diplomacy cards in that game are so powerful.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Whoever draws the diplomacy, it's all about drawing those cards.
Yeah.
And it really sort of spoils a lot of the fun of the other bits that are in it.
Played Hannibal?
Yes, I played Hannibal extensively. And that's the other game that I think is good for sucking in Euro gamers, at least people who aren't too complexity averse.
Right.
I mean, somebody who considers Puerto Rico a complicated game is not going to get sucked into Hannibal. But it is very reminiscent of Eurogames and how clean it is, how streamlined it is. And
now I've never played Hannibal. I've never been able to get a copy. I'm excited about getting my reprint from Valley Games, but too. I do have We the People. Can you compare We the People with Hannibal?
Yeah, so We the People is the game that sort of showed Mark Simonich how to do Hannibal. I've never been a big fan of We the People.
Really? Okay.
So the really interesting thing about We the People is that it has both military and political elements to it.
Uh-huh.
So you need to, in order to win the game, you need to control states, and that's done through this political control game of placing and surrounding people's political control markers. In order to successfully politically control a region, you need to use your troops to drive the guy, trying to drive your enemy out.
Right.
So it has the sort of the nice dual layer.
Uh-huh.
The problem is that some of the systems in We the People just don't work as well as they should. The battle cards are just kind of weird.
I hear that complaint, yeah.
Yeah, they're very random. There's not a lot of control. There are not a lot of decisions. You're just sort of playing cards and hoping your opponent can or cannot match it. And there's not a lot of interaction between the political and the military other than just driving them off.
Right.
Whereas in Hannibal, the systems are much more tightly integrated and interact in much more interesting ways. And everything feeds back on itself, and it gives you this very rich environment.
Right. So your top games for introducing people would be Napoleon and Hannibal?
Yeah, I think, I got to give the Hannibal the caveat that it is a little more complicated. And so I wouldn't teach it to somebody who's complexity averse. But anybody who can handle a Euro game should be able to handle Napoleon.
Now,
and that's a fun game. It works well with three players, too.
Napoleon? Oh, you can play with three.
Yeah, it actually works quite well with three.
Oh, I did not know that. What about the Command and Colors series? Now, I have Battle Lore, Memoir 44, Battle Cry. I don't have Command and Color Ancients. What about some of those? You don't really do you consider those war games or no?
Yeah, it's a tough call. So, like Memoir 44, for example, I think is really a game about card management. You have a handful of cards, and you got to figure out how to play those cards to best effect. And to me, that's not a very, it doesn't gel with the theme of a tactical war game. So it's sort of, it's a little on the edge. I personally don't think of it as a war game, but I can certainly see the arguments of people who do.
Right.
I think, I enjoy playing those games from time to time, except for Battlecry. I don't cry much. But the big issue I have with them is the scenario balance. A lot of the scenarios in Memoir 44 and Command and Color Ancients particularly are unbalanced to the point of idiocy, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
You feel like by the time you're done, you've invested around half in this game, and the outcome was preordained and not that interesting.
Now, you mentioned scenarios. Let's go back to Wizard. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you write some scenarios for Wizard Kings?
Yeah, I still have a Wizard Kings site up, which you can Google for.
What? You want to give us that site?
No, because the URL is...
Okay, but we can find it on
really
Google.
Awful. But if you Google for Chris Farrell, you'll find my blog, and there's a link to it on my blog.
Now, what's your best scenario we should play from Wizard Kings?
Yeah, so my very first one, which I think is just called Surprise the Pack... I'm really happy with how that.
What's
one
it called? Up. What's it called again?
Surprise Attack.
Surprise Attack. Okay.
I'm pretty happy with how that one worked out, and there are a lot of variants, so you can play with different boards and different armies, and it plays differently under each configuration. So I think it's an interesting scenario.
The problem I have with Wizard Kings is I found myself wanting to play a three player scenario, but it couldn't find a good map for that.
Yeah, that's a tough problem. And I don't have a good answer for that.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see this reprint.
Yeah, they claim to have put more thought into the more thought into the multiplayer aspect of it, but I having not seen it'll be on my front door as soon as it's released. But having not seen it, I can't really comment on it.
Do they have the rules out for it? Or are they changing the rules?
So I believe the rules are the same as when the rules are on version 1.6. So the rules are the same. But apparently they're going to have more scenarios out of the box.
Oh, okay.
It was always the huge problem with Blizzard King.
Is it going to look any different, do you know?
It sounds like they're getting new art through the labels. And of course, there'll be many more units. So there'll be many more.
Before we go to Eurogames, let's go. Are there any other Avalon Hill gems of games that you want to recommend that maybe people haven't played and maybe they can pick up?
Yeah, so you know the recommending Avalon Hill games is tough because a lot of them are so expensive on eBay.
Yeah.
But one of my absolute favorite games is the Great Campaigns of the American Civil War series. I particularly recommend Grand Prix Command and On to Richmond, which are wonderful vision level American Civil War games. It's great because a lot of war gamers have a hard time with it because you roll the die to see how far you can move. But I think it really, really, really gives you a real sense of the command and control difficulties that that Army level commanders worked on and the coordination problems and everything. And they're really very tense and very interesting games.
I tell you what I did pick up recently. Have you played, is it Guilford?
Guilford Courthouse?
Yeah, Guilford Courthouse.
Yeah, that's by GMT, actually.
The GMT.
I have not played that, but I have played its predecessor, Saratoga.
What do you think of that series?
I played Saratoga a couple of times, and it didn't take me. The situation of Saratoga just seems so limited. And you had about one avenue of attack as the British, so it wasn't a game that I saw playing a whole lot. It had enough rules to be a bit of a deterrent given that. I'm trying to remember what else. Some of the combat results seemed a little wacky to me.
Yeah.
You could get units completely surrounded, and it was turning flanks seemed very hard compared to how I imagine it was in the still fairly linear combat at the time.
Let me tell you, speaking of Avalon Hill games, I did find a unpunched Battle of the Bulge, you know, the first...
Yeah, the classic one.
The classic one. Is that worth playing or better off selling?
Those old games are not to my taste. I don't know. I can't really say whether it's worth playing or selling.
Right. You know, it's got the pink German counters, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they're pink. And apparently there was some controversy about that. I don't know. Nobody wanted to play the pink Germans. Now, let's talk about Euro games. You consider yourself a Euro player. What's your top Euro game?
Oh, man. There's so many great Euros, I would not pick a top one. The ones we've been playing recently. Let's see. We've been recently playing the new Settlers of the Roman Settlers, which is actually really nice historical flavor to that. Get to sack some Roman cities, move your armies around, it's kind of fun. I love modern art. I love Lord of the Rings, the community of Lord of the Rings. There's Catan.
Have you ever beat Lord of the Rings?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we've played the game like 50 times.
How long did it take you to beat it?
We started at the easiest level, and it only took us like maybe a couple of games to beat it.
Okay.
And we now play on the toughest level, and we win about half the time.
Right. Now, we haven't seen you. Have you been following the Board Game Geek, the Euro versus American thing?
No. That whole thing is...
I haven't seen your input on that, Chris.
No. And you will not.
Have you got any? Games you're looking forward to coming out? That are coming out soon?
You know, it's funny because I was just sort of looking at the upcoming releases, wondering because I'm really trying to cut back on my on the number of games I buy. One of the reasons that contributed to my not doing the blog anymore was just because I was fed up with playing too many lousy games. I didn't want to feel sort of obliged to try out new stuff to report on it for my blog, and I wanted to get away from doing that.
So do you think the quality is going down?
No, I don't think the quality is going down. I think the quantity is going up.
Oh, okay.
So, getting the new Wizard Kings.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, I'm looking forward to Settlers. Cost Harbor has done a new little dice game, like a little €5 dice game for Settlers. I'm looking forward to getting a hold of that.
Ah, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, so far it's only got a German release. So, it's a few other games I'm interested in. I'll be really curious to see what Fantasy Flight does with their Tide of Iron. But their
yes.
track record for in-house designs is a little spotty, too, so it'll be a sort of a wait and see.
Did you say, what do you rate Memoir 44? I didn't, do you rate that high?
A 7.
7? Because, I have all the expansions on Memoir, and I'm wondering, is Tide of Iron going to be the same kind of thing, or?
It definitely seems to be different. I mean, if anything, it seems to be a little more, a little closer to the Comic Commander than Memoir, but I don't have a good sense for it. The rules are online, but I have not read them.
Yeah, I haven't either. It looks like it might be a little deeper, but
It looks like it's definitely got a little more than Memoir 44.
Right.
But it's hard to say. It still seems a little generic.
A little too generic?
A little generic, yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to something like Squad Leader or the Squad Leader starter kits.
So do you still play a lot of Squad Leader?
I don't. I played ASL. ASL was the game I played from about 1990 or the late 1980s through about the mid 1990s. And, it was a ton of fun. I still think it's an awesome game, but it's just one that demands a lot of your time and it's a very high maintenance.
Right.
I don't play it so much anymore. I would like to, but it's tough.
Now, do you have a regular game group that you play with?
So, I mean, I guess most of my gaming is just done with friends.
Right.
And people's houses and things. So I'm a very good local sort of large gathering, the Bay Area Games Day. It's about every 2 or 3 months. In the South Bay, it draws about 50 to 75 people, and I go to that regularly, and that's a good time.
Do you go to any other conventions?
Up to last year, I was a regular attendee of Origins.
What happened?
Because. Of the lack of war games, actually.
Okay.
When I went to Origins, I always used to love playing in their Hannibal tournament. But the war games have become very free-form, very sort of pick-up games. And my wife and I, we play a lot of other stuff. We do a couple of role-playing game sessions, and we do our favorite old Middle Earth CCG. And so the pick-up format is not very good for us because we need to schedule.
What do you think of Titan?
Titan. It's funny. I was just thinking about Titan the other day.
I have an unpunched copy of Titan.
Yeah, I'd sell that sucker. it's just worth so much.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was just thinking, if you admit that Titan is a great game, then I think you have to admit that Monopoly is a great game.
So, in other words, you hate Titan. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think Titan is a wonderful game, and I've played it for tens of hours at least.
You prefer two player or four or what on Titan?
Well, I've always played multiplayer.
Multiplayer.
I think there's better two player stuff. It's just got that player elimination problem, and you get four players over kind of. Your house to play Titan, and one of them gets knocked out in 30 minutes.
What are they going to do the rest of the evening?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that's just a huge problem. I think Titan is a brilliant game with that one sort of significant problem.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned your wife. Does your wife play war games?
My wife will play Hannibal, and she'll play Breakout Normandy, and some multiplayer stuff that mine owned. She'll play like Britannia.
What did you think? I do have Britannia, the Fantasy Flight. What did you think of that?
I think it's almost a great game. I think it's a little too long. I think it does a lot of really good stuff. And if it were 4 hours instead of 6 hours, I think it would be a great game. But this, once you cross over that 6 hours, it becomes very hard to schedule and very hard to people.
Did you have the original Avalon Hill, too, of that?
I actually did have the original Avalon Hill, and I must have sold it 15 years ago or something. When I had accumulated a huge number of Avalon Hill games in the 80s, and then in the mid-90s, I sold off a bunch of them that I was never going to play.
Right.
And I actually played the new Britannia re-release last year, and I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not a great game, but it's good for, good to bring out from time to time. I hope we'll be able to play it again this year sometime. But I'm never going to play it more than once a year.
More than once a year, yeah.
Yeah.
Any other genres you enjoy besides the Euros? And I mean, any specific kind of quirky genres you enjoy?
Well, I mean, I mentioned my wife and I are big. I really enjoy role playing games. We don't get to play that often.
Yeah,
we have a lot of fun with those. I mean, if it's a board game, we'll play it.
Right. What, you play Abstract?
Yeah, not as much. I'm a big fan of the Chris Burns Gift series of games.
Yes, yes. Devon, is it Devana?
Yeah.
I have that one.
I have them all. I really like, my favorite one is Tamsk, actually.
Ah.
It's so unique. It's so just so clever how time is used in the game in unexpected ways.
I've been meaning to pick that up, but I'm wondering, is it worth it? You recommend it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, it may be one of those games that's a critic's game because it's just so clever and so unusual.
Uh-huh.
But I do really enjoy it, yeah.
Okay, Chris, I'm about out of time. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks for talking with us on War Games, and I'm going to try that Wizard Kings out and let you know what I think
re-release. I mean, it is a very interesting game, but being fantasy, it's... some people have a harder time getting into it than others.
Do you know when is it due out? Do you know exactly, or?
No, it was due out like a week ago. So it's
real soon then, huh?
It's like any day now.
Any day.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot again.
All right. Thanks.
Talk to you later. Bye.
There he is, the King of War Games, Chris Farrell. Thank you, Chris, for sharing those games with us and your insights into the wonderful world of wargaming. Thanks again for listening. This last thing I'm going to play for you really speaks for itself. Thank you, folks. He seems to think all this controversy is bad for gaming. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's bad at all. I think it shows an alternative viewpoint. It shows that, you don't have to necessarily fall in line with what, the majority opinion is on things.
Now, why do you think some of Michael's posts irritate people so much?
Well, I think there's just kind of been a party line that you're supposed to toe on that website for a long time.
I agree with that, right. And we thank you guys for bringing this out.
There's more of a sort of an emerging element on the site that's kind of fed up with that and just wants to promote, a different viewpoint.
Well, that's right, and that's something that really, I think, is missing again from Eurogames, is there's no sense of narrative. There's no sense of story. There's no sense of imagination. There's no engagement of telling a progressive story.
These designs that everyone is calling elegant, which I don't like that word. I prefer the word simple.
I think Eurogames really have kind of had an MTV effect on gaming. I've taken a lot of flack for saying that Eurogames was the worst thing to happen to the hobby since CCGs. The objection is that when a site like BoardGameGeek and some of the more well-known users on there come on and say, well, this is a Eurogame site. I'm like, well, guess what? There's more to gaming than Kalos and Puerto Rico.
Now you mentioned Ticket to Ride. I was looking at your profile. I found this interesting. You gave it a 1.
I gave it a 1, and I'm proud of giving it a 1.
It is censorship.
Whatever. It is not censorship.
It is censorship.
It is.
Plain and simple.
I mean, if it makes Aldi sleep better at night, then so be it.